Hello, everybody. Oh, boy. Oh, this is me talking to you before the episode starts. I just wanted to give you a little heads up. Now, the way that this show is formatted, we have different people come on with different hardware and different microphone setups, and sometimes the audio may not be great. In this case, we tried something, and I think it worked. It's just there were some leaps that we had to get over. One of those being, it's a bit of a trivia game, so there were large pauses in the recording that were just the contestants thinking things over. Also, I had a thing where my delay was off, so I end up talking over people. It's kind of a little bit of a mishmash. Now, I've gone into post, and I've tried to fix it up a bit. I've tried to make it sound okay. But you still, if you listen to the trivia portion of it, you're going to notice that it may sound a little staccato. You know, that's just me going in and cutting out all the silences. And I think it still delivers. It still gives you something to listen to. But I just wanted to give you a heads up if you're listening to it and you were thinking, oh boy, what's going on here? This sounds kind of weird. Like they're answering at the snap of a hat, or it sounded like they made comment about a pause that wasn't there. It's just because I edited it all out. And I couldn't go through and edit all the instances where I'm or any of the guests are referring to the pauses. So it might just sound a little weird at some points. Anyways, that's the little preamble I wanted to give you. I encourage you to come on and try and do this. I think that the guest did a great job. And I commend that person for coming on and taking the time to create this trivia game. It's pretty fun. And we just, you know, I think we got to workshop stuff a bit more. I think I got to take it upon myself to, if someone has an idea like this, to just kind of figure it out a little bit better, you know? Maybe work together to figure out some sort of way that promotes discussion a little bit. Anyways, you'll see what I'm talking about as you listen to it. I hope you enjoy it. And here it is. You're listening to the Just Okay Show, where you, that's right, you get to be the co-host. Huh? My name's Patrick, or Guido, and on this show, on this podcast, we have a strict open door policy. That's right. Anyone can come on it. And I mean anyone. Trump is allowed. Members of horrible organizations are allowed too. I want to hear what they have to say. Let's give bad people a platform. That's what we're trying to accomplish here. No, maybe not everyone's allowed. God, who wouldn't be allowed? Dracula? No, I bet he has some stories. Most fictional characters would be allowed. Real life characters? Oof. There's got to be a few I just wouldn't enjoy talking to. But then, isn't that the goal of podcasting, is to find out everybody's stories? That's what I learned when I went to podcasting school down in Phoenix, Arizona, of the United States. I went to a 4-year podcast school. Cost me $58,000 a year to go to that school. And this is what I get. This product. I've been in a big legal battle to get my money back from them. Jeez. University of Phoenix. This is a school. You guys remember those commercials on TV? They probably still have them. people going to University of Phoenix. I remember sitting and watching TV as a young child, and it was, I don't know if it was University of Phoenix at the time. I think it graduated into University of Phoenix, but there were always like school, like during the day, there were school advertisements. You go to school and become like a, I don't know, a paralegal or a CPA. What even is that? Child protective agent. That's what it is. Which is a pretty noble profession. But man, yeah, I remember watching those, and before my mind was fully developed, even though it still isn't, I remember seeing like a paralegal and being like, wow, those guys, they must really need paralegals, and it must be a really great job because they're really advertising for paralegals. I think like court stenographers was another one. A stenographer would be an interesting job. Just typing real fast on that funky keyboard. Man. Why? If those keyboards are so much better, why aren't they common for the consumer? Tough to learn, I bet. But the regular QWERTY keyboard's pretty tough to learn. For a non-English speaker, I guess. Even, no, I guess it's not. It's pretty easy to learn. Oh, boy. Anyways, you can come and be on this show, is what I was trying to say. All you got to do is show up on the Discord server, discord.gg/justokay. You just pop that into your browser, hop in there, join the channel, say hi, talk to some people, get yourself the podcast tag if you like. Then you'll get pinged whenever we're recording, and you get your opportunity to come on. That's all it takes, really, man. I don't ask for much. I just do ask that if you do want to come on, have something. Have something. A lot of times I provide a topic that'll be shared, and you can use that topic to come up with a story. It could be real. It could be fake. It could be funny. It could be sad. In fact, I might encourage made-up stories. Those are always pretty fun. I want to ask some questions about those. Maybe suss out if you're really telling the truth or not. No, I'm going to always assume that you're telling the truth. That's the rule. So that's it. You know, hop on here and do that. Oh, boy. I tell you. This is about the, I'm thinking right now, this is why I'm pausing. I should have played the intro music at some point, but I'm going to play it right now. We're just okay, and this is a show. It's the Just Okay Show. Okay, thanks for listening to this, the fifth episode of this experiment of a show. And now's about the time when I would talk about my week, but I really, really don't have anything interesting to share in that regard. I didn't do anything of note this week. It was a lot of sitting around at home, watching movies and stuff. I work in the parks, for people that don't know. I work in the parks, and it's a northern park in Milwaukee. We have an ice rink in the wintertime. And it's getting to be about the time to set up that ice rink, and which it's a job that I vehemently hate. I hate getting the ice rink going. First of all, we got to lay down a bunch of mats over concrete, like rubber, thick rubber mats. They're heavy, and it's like a jigsaw puzzle every year. You gotta pull them all out, and you gotta set them up in the right order, so that people protect their skates. And I've been really politicking to get a permanent rubber sidewalk put in. But, you know, 20 years in, not happening. They'd rather just have some poor kids pull their backs out, moving hundreds of 50-pound big old rubber, like, pads
It's horrible. It's not good. And then that's before. We did that weeks ago. And now we're just waiting for the weather to get cold enough. We're waiting for the weather to get as miserable as possible so that we can go out and freeze water over the course of 3 days around the clock. Oh, I've been around long enough that I don't have to do that third shift anymore. You know, I'm kind of just, I'm making sure it all gets done. I'm there on the first shift. I'm meeting with the painters. You know, I'm spraying the hose sometimes, but I don't have to do that crazy grunt work of doing that third shift. And there's been times where I've been doing that third shift. And this one time, we were doing it. It was right around this time, and it was so cold. Like, I'm talking, God, at night, maybe 7 degrees. It was cold enough that the water was freezing almost instantaneously once it hit the ice, which is great for building ice because you get it done so quick. When it's warmer out, you're just standing in a puddle for a few minutes until it freezes. But I remember the parks director at the time, for those of you who don't know, a parks director is like the biggest shot. They're like the general of your local parks. The parks director comes down after bar close. This is in an area in Milwaukee, which is a drinking city, that's close to a large strip of popular bars. And the parks director comes down at 2 a.m. while I'm there, some poor schlub at that time, probably getting paid like $7.94 an hour, working third shift, tired. And we hear this knocking on the garage door because we'd go and spray in the cold in the 7 degrees and then go in the garage and warm up for like 10 minutes before we had to go spray it again. And we hear this banging like the police, just like a doo, 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 doo on the garage door. So we raise it up. And this parks director standing out there with a girlfriend and just like kind of sloshed, you know, kind of tipping back a few, had a few at the bars. And the garage door comes up and it slowly raises and you see my pants. And my pants were icicles because you're getting spray back from the hose. You're using like a big fire hose to fill this rink and it's spraying everywhere. So it's spraying your clothes and you're out there. Your clothes are frozen. You got some frozen pants on. So that's the first thing she sees. And she lays her eyes upon me and then continues to like give me guff. She's given me guff about how I'm not out there spraying the water down. Lady, what a lady. This is a long time ago. She no longer works for the parks. In fact, I believe she was caught up in a giant scandal when she moved away from the Milwaukee parks to another park district where she ended up falsifying some sort of Indian burial ground and broke ground on it. What a chump. God, you can't do that. I'll tell you that. What a chump. Anyways, yeah, that was just my bad story about spraying ice. It's pretty miserable. So I got that coming up this next week, which makes me think that I'm going to have to double book an episode. I'm going to have to bank an episode. So I might record again this week. I think I have to, maybe even tomorrow. And then that one will get pushed to next week because I'll be pretty busy next week. I don't know if I'll have time to record. So yeah, just so you guys know, I don't like banked episodes. When I'm listening to a podcast, I don't think I like those. I don't mind them one or two, you know, but when they start going on for like weeks on end, you can tell that they just went to the recording studio or wherever they record and they sat down for a day and just recorded 8 episodes. And then you're just stuck with that for 2 months. I'll never do that, I don't think. That takes the fun out of podcasting. You got to do it every week. That's what I feel. Okay. Well, I think now is about the time when I open up that door and we get a guest on. It should be a pretty interesting episode, I think. I had someone reach out to me about coming on the show, and we're going to allow them to introduce themselves and come on here. And they seem like a little bit of a eccentric person, if I do say so. I don't know what he wants to talk about, but we're going to figure it out. This is the fun of this show. You know, you open up the door, you see who walks through. All right. Let's bring this person on.
Yes.
Hello. Thank you for coming on to this, the Just Okay Show. What's your name?
I am Dr. Bronson Pilchard.
Dr. Bronson Pilchard. Wow. That's an interesting name. Where did you get your doctorate from?
The University of Phoenix, of course.
Oh, man, that's where I went, to podcasting school. Are you a doctor in podcasting?
No, I'm a doctor in the sociology of lemons.
The sociology of lemons. Okay, can you expand on that? What does that entail?
Well, you see, when you think about a lemon and what it means and the colors and the flavor, well, I'm sorry. We just do not have time to go into this. Okay, if you want more, you can look up my work in the Journal of Vegetal Studies.
The Journal of Vegetal Studies?
Yes.
Okay. The Journal of... I'm not familiar with JVS, but I guess I should go to my local library and check it out.
Indeed.
So, what, you wanted to come on the show to talk about lemons, or we don't have time? What do we have to get to? I don't understand.
Well, today I have brought you a game show. I will require 3 contestants.
A game show? Wow. Yes. Okay. What, are there, I mean, I have questions before we get to your game show. One, like, who are you? You just come, do you go on other podcasts and with a game show?
Of course.
Oh, okay. What other shows have you been on? Yeah, it's okay. Take your time.
The Joe Rogan Experience. Of course.
On Joe Rogan?
That was my first podcast. After that, it was some other ones you haven't. They're exclusive.
Yeah, pretty underground. The most successful podcasts are the exclusive ones. The ones that only go out to members. Oh, man, I hope to be one of those podcasts someday. But hey, Joe Rogan was a big get. That's pretty great for you. And then you decide to come on this one, huh? Things are really working out for you.
The trajectory is straight up.
Yes, straight up. I understand. Wow. Well, thank you for gracing us with that. I suppose a game show would be pretty fun. There's probably a few people here that might want to participate in this. Like, what do we need? What kind of game show is it? Can you explain?
A sort of trivia show. Tonight's theme is food. So hopefully the people you find have had food.
Okay. Yeah. I think most people have had food. I've had food. I had food today. I had some Trader Joe's version of Takis. You ever have those before?
No.
Oh, okay.
What is this Taki you talk about?
Taki, I believe, is some sort of rolled up corn chip. It's like a corn chip that's rolled up and then dusted with a flavoring of some sort. It's pretty good. You should try it out.
I will make an effort.
Okay, so a food-based trivia game this time. What did you do on the Joe Rogan? What was the theme on the Joe Rogan Experience?
Lemons, of course.
Oh, lemons again. So, okay, here's a question. If someone heard you on Joe Rogan, would they have all the answers to your questions on this show?
No. Unfortunately, when you're catering to a general audience, you cannot dive deep into all of the things there are to know about lemons, like you can when you're spending 16 hours on a podcast.
Oh, okay. 16 hours is what it would take to cover the entirety of lemons?
Oh, at least.
Okay. Good to know. Okay, well, hopefully we get some participants here. If you're in the audience and you want to come on and participate and join in on this and be a contestant, how many do you need, Dr. Bronson?
I require 3 contestants.
Okay, 3 contestants. All right. It looks like we already have quite a few hands up. Let's bring on our first contestant and see what this person knows about lemons. Hello, thanks for being a contestant on this, the Dr. Bronson Pilchard lemon trivia. What's your name?
Hi. I heard it was an open door policy.
Yes, the door is open, and that's the policy. Thanks for coming on. What's your name?
My name is Belarus, quite like the 20th most populous country in Europe, Belarus.
Okay. Dr. Bronson, do you have any questions for the contestant on this trivia game that you have here?
Have you partaken of food?
Yeah, I have. I definitely have eaten food before. Did you know that Belarus's national dish is the draniki, which is a potato fritter?
Mm.
Of course.
What is a fritter?
I think it's when you put a bunch of stuff together and then fry it.
Yeah, that's it. So are hash browns fritters?
I believe a fritter needs to be deep
fried. Oh, you got to deep fry it. Okay. And is it like a shredded thing? I have no idea what a fritter is, to tell you the truth. I know there's fruit fritters. You can get like an apple fritter. Is that like a pie that's just like a calzone that's deep fried but with apple filling?
The classic fritter is chopped food that is glued together with a batter and then plopped in to deep oil and fry.
Oh, wow. It sure does help to have a doctor on this show. You know so much, doctor, about food. What would you say you'd know the least about? Is it pussy?
No,
you know a lot about that.
Of course. I mean, it's a thing you eat. The thing I know the least about is fences. No one eats a fence.
You're right. I'm sure there's a few dogs and animals, wild animals, that kind of chew it up to get into the other side.
They do not write in academic journals, though.
Oh, that's true, except for that one beaver. All right.
I'll have to look for his
work. Okay. Thanks, Belarus, for coming on. Let's get another contestant on here. This person, I hope, knows something about food or eating. They seem pretty knowledgeable in other areas. Let's invite them on.
Hello?
Hello. Thanks for coming on the Just Okay Show. What's your name?
Oh, my name is Meteor, usually. Go by Meteorology, full name.
Okay, so you're not Meteor than something else. It's
No, it's Meteor than Ology.
Oh, okay. Hi. Dr. Bronson, do you have any questions for this participant?
Pray tell, Mr. Ology, have you partaken of foo?
Yes, I generally prefer the gas station variety. So anything that goes on a roller, that's what I know about.
Oh, like a tornado.
Yeah, like a tornado.
Man, those roller things are pretty handy. I wonder why those aren't marketed to the consumer more often.
Oh, they're so good. Especially when you get... There's like some that are really good for not burning through the bag, too. It sounds kind of odd, but they have some odd ones out there that are really liquidy, and I hate those.
That, like, the rollers have liquid on them?
Yeah, like some taquito-style ones. It's very strange. Loves, looking at you.
Come on, get your act together, Loves. What would it, okay, let's say I'm in the business of making those roller things, and I market one to consumers. How much would you pay for one to have in your own home?
A roller system, yes. Maybe $20.
You're not getting my quality rollers for $20. I'm asking a clean $149.99.
Okay, yeah. Does it have the glass on top to keep me from spitting on them?
Nah, there's that, you know, extra. You can spend an extra $48 and get that. Yeah,
that's worth $20.
Just the top.
Yeah.
You can put a lot of things under that cover.
Put some books there?
Yeah.
Some lemons?
Lemons, Dr. Bronson!
That would be perfect. There's nothing worse than a spit-covered lemon.
There's nothing worse?
Nothing.
Wow. Okay. You really drew a line in the sand there. Spit-covered lemons? Holy cow. I could probably think of at least three things worse, but, you know, to each his own. Okay, well, thanks, Meteor, for coming on here. We need, how many more contestants do we need, Dr. Bronson?
I require one more contestant.
Okay, one more contestant. Let's, we got a hand raised here. Let's see who this guy is. Hello, welcome to the Just Okay Show. What's your name?
Hello. My name is... Hey, it's a Dragon Guy.
Dragon Guy. Wow. Fans of the old episode might remember his voicemails.
I was very popular on there.
Yep. I remember people coming up to you in the street saying, hey, weren't you the guy that left the voicemails on that very low-rated gaming podcast with those four idiots? But and that's you.
I always tell him it couldn't have been me. There's no way.
Well, welcome to the show, man. Dr. Bronson, any questions for this guy? I have an idea of what the question will be.
Yes. Hey, it's a Dragon Guy. Have you partaken of food?
Indeed.
Verily.
What was the last food you ate?
Today I had some leftovers, bulgogi, some beef bulgogi, with a chicken egg roll.
Oh, you say bulgogi. I have always said it bulgogi.
Bulgogi, indeed.
Bulgogi's nuts. Oh, come on. Low-hanging fruit. I shouldn't do it. Ooh, you know, what's the lowest hanging fruit, Dr. Bronson? Take your time.
The lowest hanging fruit, of course, is the Amazonian sour grape.
Oh, the ASG, huh? That's a pretty big one. No, I've never had it before. Isn't an Amazonian sour grape just a lemon?
It is known as a lemon among some people. But there is an important difference where the Amazonian sour grape is a darker shade of yellow, and a lemon, of course, is yellow. Well, depending on how much water you drink, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, we got our three contestants here, Dr. Bronson. I'm going to help you along with this. I'll be, you know, kind of off in the sides, maybe giving my my take. Ooh, or they could maybe allow them to use me as a lifeline. Can we call out the Guido lifeline if they ever need help?
Sure, sure.
Okay. And you can kind of take it away now. I believe you brought along some sort of theme music that you played on the Joe Rogan Experience. Should I play that now, or do you want to
yes,
cue me
please.
In?
Please.
Okay.
Please start with your theme music.
Okay. I will start with the theme music.
I hope it's lemon themed.
It's
hello.
Abrupt. Okay. No. Continue. Sorry.
Welcome to Working Title. I'm your host, Dr. Bronson Pilger. You may be familiar with my work on the sociology of lemon. Yay!
Good evening. To applaud.
On Working Title, there are three rounds. Round one, here are some questions. Round two, find the fake. Round three, final Working Title. Tonight, we're talking food. Round one, here are some questions. What are the components of a roux?
Ding, ding, ding.
Belarus.
That would be flour and milk or some kind of like cream dairy.
False. Any other contestants?
Ding, ding, ding.
Mr. Ology.
I'm going to say flour and fat.
Yes. 1 point for Mr. Ology.
I was thinking of a bechamel.
Oh, you see, that's where they get you, a bechamel and a roux. They're so similar, but, you know, one has fat and one has milk.
He's right.
It's true.
It is true. Question two. What is the mouth-numbing ingredient famous for bringing ma to Sichuanese cuisine?
Ding, 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 ding.
Belarus.
Is that Sichuan peppercorns?
Correct. 1 point to Belarus.
Wow, that's great. Good job. I didn't know that. I'm also very impressed that you guys just immediately know how to play this game. You're dinging in. That's really good.
They must have heard the previous episode.
Of course. It was very a wildly successful podcast, The Joe Rogan Experience.
Question number three. What are the components of the Holy Trinity of Cajun cuisine?
Ding, ding, ding.
Mr. Ology.
It's celery, onion, and carrots?
Incorrect. Any other contestants?
Can I take a stab at it?
Mr. Guido.
I'll say probably some apples and maybe some carrots. There's a little bit of salt in it. And then you go out and you dig up a little bit of a potato out of your own garden. You bring it in. You cut a few snips off your parsley plant. And then you mix it all up in a big cauldron. And then you have a virgin take a sip of it, spit it back out into the cauldron, mix it four times, and there you have it.
Unfortunately, you have confused the Holy Trinity of Cajun cuisine with the Holy Trinity of Appalachian cuisine.
Those Appalachians love virgins. Right, Belle?
You got it. I'd like to give this one a shot, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
I think the ingredient number one is a little bit of Tony's. And then ingredient number two is another little bit of Tony's. And then the ingredient number three is just like a little bit more of Tony's.
Mr. T.
Very close, but no. Mr. Hey, it's a dragon guy. Would you like to answer?
Can I go with... I think Mr. Meteor was on to something. I know celery and onions. Could I take a stab with bell peppers?
Indeed, that is correct. 1 point for Mr. Hey, it's a dragon guy. For an extra point, you may give me the ratio that those ingredients are added in.
Goodness, I'm not good with the ratios. I'd have to look at a recipe. I apologize.
That would be cheating.
It would be.
There's no cheating allowed on this.
No cheating.
So let us move on to question number 4. According to Roman Gourmand, Marcus Gavius Apicius, one eats first with his...
Ding, ding, ding.
Mr. Ology.
Hands? Oh, wait. Can I change my answer?
No.
You may.
You can't.
There's no changing here.
Ding, 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 ding.
Bellary.
I'm going to say with his big old schnosh, you know, his big old honker.
That is closer, but also incorrect. Mr. Hey, it's a dragon.
All right, last but not least, with his mouth?
It is incorrect.
I know the answer. The end. I know it.
Oh, I know it.
Guido.
He eats with his asshole, you idiots. He sticks his butt on the plate and opens it up and just shovels it in.
Of course.
My mistake.
The answer is his eye. For if you see a food that looks enticing, you are more likely to think that it is delicious.
Makes sense.
It's all about the presentation.
I don't know about that.
What about those taquitos? Questions?
You see those things sizzling on the rollers? You're like, those look good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe you that's also why. It's probably also why I've never had my asshole eaten.
Because it does not look delicious.
It doesn't look good, brother.
Question 5. What are the 5 mother sauces of French cuisine?
Ding, 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 ding.
Belarus.
Is bechamel one of them, though?
It is.
Ah, hell yeah.
1 point? 1 point for each.
That's about all I got, to be honest with you. Sorry.
Mr. Ology or Mr. Hey, it's a dragon guy?
I might be able to get one.
Go for it.
I might just sound wrong, though. Is hollandaise sauce one of them?
Indeed. 1 point for Mr. Ology.
Very nice. Very good.
Isn't that just butter?
It's a mixture of butter, egg yolk, and citrus.
Unfortunately, the only thing that's coming to my mind right now are Spanish spices, and that are not correct.
Guido, do you have any insights?
Okay, the mother sauces of French cuisine. Let's go with, you got your bechamel, you got your hollandaise, you got your breast milk. And then for the other two, it's, let's see, the French, what are they like?
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah.
It's ketchup and mustard.
Yeah, ketchup and mustard sound pretty good.
I think one of those things is correct, sort of.
The 5 mother sauces of French cuisine. Oh, would you like another?
I was going to guess like a wine-based, like a Coke au vin sort of situation, but I don't know if it's correct. I do know they like to slurp on that wine over there, though.
The 5 sauces are bechamel, velouté, espagnol, hollandaise, and tomate.
That's probably what I was thinking of, was espagnol.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, too.
Question 6.
Oh, we're going still. All right, let's go. Question 6.
What is the defining ingredient of Japanese sushi?
Ding, ding, ding.
Mr. Ology.
I'm going to say this is a trick question. But I'm going to say fish anyway.
That is incorrect.
Ding, ding, ding?
Mr. Hey, it's a dragon guy.
Would it be the rice?
That is correct. Vinegared rice is the defining ingredient of Japanese sushi. 1 point for Mr. Hey, it's a dragon guy.
Question seven. Good job on that point.
What is the most expensive spice in the world?
Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, ding.
I think it's between one or two things, and I'm going to go with saffron.
That is correct. 1 point for Belarus. Question eight. Cannabis brownies were popularized by this aptly named member of the Parisian avant-garde.
Ding, 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 ding.
Belarus.
Parisian? Is that what you said?
Parisian avant-garde.
Mary Jane.
That is incorrect. The answer, of course. Oh, Mr. Ology.
I was just going to ask, can you repeat the question?
Cannabis brownies were popularized by this aptly named member of the Parisian avant-garde.
That, you know, the audience at home loves to listen to people think it over.
Just silence.
Just the pure we'll silence.
Yeah, I'll fix it in post.
I'm going to put the Jeopardy theme over this.
The answer, of course, is Alice B. Toklas. Because it sounds like not toking.
Oh,
question nine.
That's a pretty easy one, guys. I don't know how you missed that one.
That's a made-up name.
Yeah.
She was Gertrude Stein's lover.
Oh.
I don't really know what avant-garde even means.
It's the leading edge of an art movement.
Like a fart movement.
Got him.
Oh,
get farted on, Dr. Bronson. Huh?
More she's like just Dr. joking the whole time.
Son.
That person ate with her butt first.
Question nine. What spice provides the orange color to Indian curries?
Ding, ding, ding.
Mr. Ology.
Turmeric?
That is correct. 1 point to Mr. Ology.
Oh, yeah.
Question 10. What is the name for the subclass of pika that involves eating hair?
Ding, ding, ding.
Mr. Ology.
That just sounds dumb. I actually thought I knew it for a second. I have no idea.
This guy.
The answer, of course, is trichophagia. Moving on. Speaking of things you might not want to eat, our next round involves strange food. In Find the Fake, we will read to you a selection of four strange foods, and you will have to tell us which one is the fake. Here are the scores. Belarus, 3 points. Mr. Ology, 3 points. Hey, it's a dragon guy, 2 points. Yay!
Yeah.
Round two.
Whee!
Find the fake. Let's dig in. First, we will talk of invertebrates. I will give you four dishes. Three of them are real. One of them is false. When you figure out which one is false, you tell me, you get a point. You get it wrong, someone else can. Number one, roasted chorbancha. In a small market in Mexico City, you can find a fun new delicacy. Roasted chorbancha. After being boiled in mezcal and a special blend of wild herbs and shrimp salt, the arachnids are roasted and have the stinging hairs removed to ensure they do not irritate your tum-tum. Enjoy. Number two, Korea is well known for its fine silk satin. But did you know that you can make more from these plump little grubs than just jacquard? That's right. You can also get a paper cup brimming with boiled silkworm pupae. They are said to have a chewy texture, a nutty flavor, and the delicate scent of rubber tire. Perhaps a bit of an acquired taste. Number three, the Italian island of Sardinia is famous for a bit of an unusual delicacy. It starts as a sheep milks hard cheese, not unlike Pecorino Romano, but modified by allowing it to ferment through the action of the digestive enzymes of the cheese fly maggots that are allowed to grow in the wheel of cheese. These enzymes break the hard cheese into a soft, if wiggly, snack. Just remember, if the maggots aren't wiggling, the cheese is no good. 4. In the hills of Baja, California, outside of the sleepy town of El Rosarito, every spring, the locals continue a centuries-old tradition of gathering the young caterpillars of the monarch butterfly. If the caterpillars are more than a week old, the concentration of milkweed toxins is too high to be counteracted by the cleansing concoction of herbs and charcoal that has been handed down through the generation. These grubs make up an important part of the native's diet, but if you see it, just don't tell the World Wildlife Fund they are eating an endangered species. Now I ask you, which of these comestibles is the fate?
Ding-a-ling.
Mr. Hay, it's a dragon gun.
I'm going to go with the third one?
That is wrong, unfortunately. That is a real dish known as casu marzu from the Italian island of Sardinia.
All right, well.
Ding, ding, ding.
Mr. Ology.
I'm going to say the second one, the silkworms. I can't see the smell of a tire being something that anybody eats.
Unfortunately, you are incorrect. That is Korean dish known as biondegi.
Koreans are weird, dude. They'll eat a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah, ding, those ding, Koreans, ding. Man.
Belarus.
I'm going to go with the monarch caterpillars. That just doesn't sound like a thing. Even in California, that seems a little bit weird.
That is 1 point for Belarus.
Next. You know, I've heard that fourth one before, being a California native, and I honestly thought that was true.
Next, we will talk soups.
Oh, man, I've been number waiting one. For this. I've been waiting for this this portion of the show, the soup talk.
Soup talk, soup content. It's what the people ache for.
All right. Four of these. Which one's real? Which one's
dole
fake?
It out for us, Dr. Bronson.
Let's give it a go, guys.
Give me some sloppy soup.
No pressure, Dr. Number Bronson.
In the Southeast Asian country of Laos, when the city dwellers want a reminder of country life, they turn to ant egg soup, a comforting blend of chicken stock, lemongrass, and fish sauce, along with the distinctive sour pop of ant eggs, invokes a nostalgia for the villages of their youth. So next time you're longing for simpler times, remember to reach for a warm bowl of special soup. Number two. For the last 400 years, emperors and dignitaries have slurped a soup made from the spit of birds at the swankiest parties in mainland China. The soup itself has a delicate flavor that should not be overpowered by strong or oily flavor. But the main appeal of the soup is the stringy, gelatinous texture. Number three, deep in the Amazonian jungle of Brazil, the native Yanomamo people enjoy a daring delicacy, a soup made from poison dart frogs and a wild relative of the banana. Through skillful butchery, just enough of the frog's poison is allowed to remain in the soup to slow down your metabolism and provide a much-desired cooling effect in the hot jungle and leaves a pleasant, tingling sensation on the lips of tongue. Number four. Finally, we have a delicious red soup hailing from northern Vietnam. Freshly drawn duck blood is left in the refrigerator to cool and coagulate. It is flavored with fish sauce and dressed with gizzards, mint, and crushed peanuts for a little crunch. Eat up quick. You wouldn't want it to get runny. Now then, if you were to find yourself a hankering, which of these soups would you have to make for yourself?
Ding, 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 ding.
Belarus.
So the special soup, the bird spit. I don't know. Do birds have spit? I don't know if I've ever seen a bird spittle. I think they tinkle.
Well, they do vomit into their babies' mouths, you know? And I do know that they poop and pee at the same time.
Yeah, and they lay eggs out of their bunghole.
Dang, dude. Could you imagine?
You think they taste it?
please tell me, please, please
you think
tell
you're
me
slurping that soup.
Tell me of this special soup.
I beg you, is it the bird spit?
Are we slurping the bird spit?
Yes, the bird spit is a true soup. It's known as bird's nest soup. The little birds fling their spit at a wall, and it dries and hardens, and it becomes their nest. And then people come, pick down their nests, and dissolve it in water to be a soup.
All right, ding, ding, ding.
Mr. Hey, it's a dragon guy.
I don't know about the too much about frog biology, but I do know that the poison dart frogs is like you can die or at least get horribly paralyzed from like a touch. So I find it really weird that like they're like, yeah, let's put this in soup. It seems a little off.
You are correct. Poison dart frog soup is false.
Hey, way to go, man.
We're going to get a little stinky. Three of these are the smelliest.
More than we already are.
Oh, boy. We already went to special soup. I don't know if we can go stinkier.
Let's get stinkier, man. We're in it.
There was fried tarantula before, too. I don't know if that's the smell.
We've got stinky, and then we've got one more question. So we're almost there.
All right.
Okay. Since at least the 14th century, Korean fishermen have been fermenting a type of cartilaginous flat-bodied fish to preserve them for extended storage or transportation to inland markets. Having been fermented in their own uric acid rather than salt, they are said to have an odor reminiscent of an outhouse, but at least it is low in sodium and will not raise your blood pressure. Number two, the Inuit people of northern Canada have been fermenting the livers of polar bears since the first contact with Europeans. Since before the first contact with Europeans, it is considered to be the worst smelling edible substance in the world. Slowly fermented in salt water under a thin layer of ice, this delicacy is kept in cold storage until hunting becomes more difficult because of the migration patterns of prey. Fortunately, this stored offal is chock full of nutrients, so you don't have to eat much. Number three, the national fish dish of Iceland is fermented shark. The shark contains so much urea that is poisonous when fresh, but luckily, that same urea helps it ferment into something somewhat edible. First timers are recommended to pinch their noses while taking a bite because the ammonia vapors will burn your nose. And number four, the Swedes have been producing a partially fermented herring product since the 16th century. Just the right amount of salt is added to prevent it from going off, but not enough to stop it from smelling. It is added to the fish in order to let lactic acid bacteria break the fish into a nourishing stew of organic acid. Pray tell, contestants, which of these smells like a fake to you?
Ding, ding, ding.
Mr. Ology.
I'm going to say the first one, the Korean fish.
That is a true thing that exists.
Yeah, right. You tried, man. You know, that's the one I would have said, too.
Ding, 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 ding.
Belarus.
Well, you said two piss fishes. I think one and three were both piss fish.
They were indeed piss fish.
So if one is correct, I think three's got to also be correct. That someone else in the world would do piss fish. So I think I'm going to go with number two.
The polar bear. Indeed, you are correct. Polar bear livers have such high levels of vitamin A that even an ounce of them would kill you.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, wow. Polar bears have venom?
No, their livers are full of vitamin A. In such high concentrations, it will kill you.
I'm sorry, Dr.
Polar bears have a lot of different, like, caloric and like vitamin content in them.
But wouldn't it be fucking terrifying if they were venomous also?
I don't think anything would survive up here.
Scores going into our final round are four for Belarus, three for Mr. Ology, and three for Mr. Hey, It's a Dragon Guy. Welcome to round three, final working title. Tonight's subject, National Dishes of Europe. Steaked flesk, a dish of crispy pork and potatoes with parsley sauce, is the national dish of which European country? Play me that song.
Are we writing this down?
Oh boy.
Yeah, this is your final fucking Jeopardy.
Could you repeat the dish again, Doctor?
Yeah. Let's go over this again. Actually, let's just start from the goddamn beginning.
Oh, please, no.
This music even goes on forever.
It's the same length as the Jeopardy song. Steak flesh, a dish of crispy pork and potatoes with parsley sauce, is the national dish of which country? Go.
Ding, ding, ding.
Meteorology.
Sweden?
What?
What?
No.
You sound so disappointed. Right or wrong.
I'm sorry.
Daddy.
I'm going to go with Austria?
Wrong.
Well, don't get this wrong.
If you get this wrong.
All right, Belarus, I believe in you.
I'm going to go Romania.
The answer, of course, was Denmark. The final score is 4 points for Belarus and 3 points for the other two. Congratulations, Belarus, and a hearty thank you to all of our contestants on Working Title.
He sounds so disappointed in us. I don't know whether to have... If, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe... He's probably having some trouble at home, you know.
Get this guy some lemonade.
Yeah.
Large prostate.
Yeah, not one mention of lemons. I thought there'd be a lemon question.
There was no lemon question. I was very disappointed.
Well, I got a lemon question. What's the name of that candy with the lemons in it? Dang it.
We're talking about Lemonhead.
Yes, Lemonhead. 1 point to Dr. Bronson.
Oh.
All right. Well, that was a game show. And we'll try it out. Try it out and see how it's received. Dr. Bronson, appreciate you.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. Did it go this well on the Joe Rogan Experience?
Of course.
Yeah.
Was he the only contestant?
It was him and Jamie and that other guy.
I'll have to go back and try and find that episode.
Yeah, me too. I'm sure they took it down. Probably got stricken from YouTube.
They didn't get very many points. They were very disappointed in themselves.
Yeah. You put on a hard game show. Those are tough questions. I would have gotten them all wrong. I would have just been sitting here wondering what I'm doing playing this game, because I wouldn't have any answers for anyone. But that said, appreciate it. And I won't go as far as saying you're welcome back anytime. But, maybe shoot me an email. See how things are going. You can add me on Facebook. And we'll see how things are going. Keep up to date. So I'll learn your birthday and stuff.
We got to look up that his documentary.
Right. Do you have a documentary?
No. It was a research.
Oh, a research paper.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, all of you guys. This was fun. And just get off now. Just go away.
But thank you. Oh, boy. Poor Dr. Bronson. What an interesting fellow that guy is. Yeah. I wonder, you know, he sent me an email, and he was very, very into getting this game show going, and I thought I'd give him a shot. And it was good. It was good-ish. We'll need to workshop it a little bit. I think we'll need to workshop all trivia games from this point on this program. We probably should have sat and chatted for a while to see about a format that was a little bit more radio friendly is what I'm thinking about.
I think so, I liked the second round. That one, oh, I think, yeah? That one was a little, that, I think that one was fun.
Okay. You like the round where he just read four things, one right after the other for 20 minutes a question?
I think we could have had I think it would have been better if maybe we had consolidated between each other about what we thought and then come to a conclusion. Like, I think it's this one. I think it's this one. I think it's this one. And they're like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Something that promotes a little bit more conversation, I guess. I don't know. It's the first time. We're figuring it out.
Anyways, it was very good, though. I liked it.
What the hell are you contestants still doing here?
Do you mind? I wanted to give a little ask to your audience, if you don't mind.
Sure. Yeah, give an ask. Let's do it.
Yeah. So I'm also kind of playing around with the idea of doing a little gamey game on the show. And the gamey game that I'm working on is kind of a combination of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, which you may have listened to before on NPR, and a game show called Have I Got News For You? So I'd really appreciate it if your audience could send me some fun news articles that they find in their day-to-day. As I'm putting that together, I'd appreciate it.
Give us an example, Belle.
Just kind of, sort of, you know, like, you ever seen that subreddit, Not the Onion? Kind of shit like that. News stories that are unexpected. So.
Yeah, you remember the headline segment on Jay Leno? You'd come on and you'd have headlines and be like, hey, you seen this? You heard about this? And then you'd show the headline.
Yeah, I'm going to do the Jay Leno voice.
Yeah. Guy gets stabbed driving his Cadillac. What do you think about that? He should have paid more money for that thing. You seen this?
And then he got in a car accident and burned like 80% of his body. Yeah, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, classic.
Classic.
Okay, yeah. Come on to the Discord, discord.gg/justokay. And reach out to Belarus at Belarus. You can pair, maybe send a DM, but you might have to be friends. I don't know. But just start with a ping. That's where you begin. And yeah, we'll take it from there. You got an idea of how to run a talk show now from Dr. Bronson, and take it from there. There's some steps to learn and some things to figure out. And, you know, I'll probably ask to meet up with you and go do a little run through beforehand.
Really? All right. I mean, yeah sure.
Maybe. But yeah, just come on discord.gg/justokay and, you know, do all that shit I talked about earlier. All right, everybody. That's it for this episode, and we'll talk to you next week, but probably I'm going to record tomorrow. So, and I think the topic, I'll give it right now, even though people won't hear this until after I record the next episode, but I think the topic's going to be what was the most physically difficult thing you've done? Something along those lines. I'll workshop it, figure it out. Anyways, we'll see you guys next time. Bye.